All right, so Jeff is away preaching this morning, and he called me Friday night and asked if I'd fill in for him, so told him I would. So today's just a review, so I'm expecting, hoping for a lot of feedback from everyone here, so that way I don't have to talk so much. So just a few notes up front for those of you teaching. So I just added it up, and I think there are 28 total class times from July the 28th to October the 31st. This is what I just counted. Hopefully I counted right. So, do you know, Gary, this may be a question, put you on the spot here. I've heard a little bit of talk of you guys talking about some singings. Don't know if that's been...
There has been nothing officially.
Okay, all right. So... Oh, yeah, it was the 21st. I misspoke. Yeah, it's the 21st. I got my 28 and 21 mixed up there. So, yeah, the 21st to the 31st, yeah. So,
we'll get back with 2 weeks. I'll speak to the other elders.
Okay, so I'm just trying to help you guys kind of plan out how many classes you're going to have. Didn't you say Tracy had told you to plan on 23? I mean, even to me, if we have singings, it'd probably only be three. So I'd plan on 24 and maybe have a little flexibility to, maybe you might have to add one last minute with a review or maybe take one away. And I know that's kind of hard to plan. Ah, that's right. Yeah, so that might take one of them away. So yeah, I think 23.
Sunday through Thursday.
So that Sunday, we probably wouldn't have a class, would we?
Or
would we?
And Wednesday,
that's right, yeah. So that might take away at least one of them. So I think if you plan on 23 and it'd be flexible to add one or so, or maybe take one away last minute, that would probably be
probably good. Just Wednesday.
Probably just Wednesday. We'll probably have Sunday class. Okay. All right. So I just wanted to kind of get that so you guys could prepare a little bit on that. So, and hopefully, the plan today is just to go over a quick overview of kind of what hit the lessons and the teaching points that kind of Jeff had in his slides and go over all that real quick. Let you guys come. If you have anything else, feel free to jump in by all means. And then at the end, I have a couple of just bullets about some online material that we have on our website, other resources, a place to put some of your stuff once you have material. We have a shared drive and things like that. Kind of show you on our website how to get to those things, and maybe that'll help you guys out too. So, but we will start with the Acts facts, right? And thankfully, I can look up here today. So, so what's the first chapter?
Ascension and appointment.
Okay, number two. All right, three. Layman and lesson, all right. See, that's where I usually, I'm good up to then. But from here on, it's always a struggle. What's number four? Restraint, release, request, right, okay. What's that talking about? Okay, gotcha. All right, number five. And that's talking about? Okay. Number six. Okay. Number seven. Eight. Samaritan salvation. Nine. All right. Ten. Cornelius converted. All right. 11. What? I heard somebody. Report and relief. All right. This one he's actually going back and reporting them, right, and all that. Okay. All right, so quick summary. Like I say, I'm just going to go through these teaching points. So in my mind, especially everybody teaching the younger kids, I think you need to, you can tell me if I'm wrong, especially for the real young ones, you're probably going to have to focus on one, maybe two things that you want them to get out of this, you know. So I was thinking as going through here, and these teaching points are probably some good things. Some of them may be a little bit over the heads of the smaller ones. So as you're talking about or thinking about Acts 9, 1 through 23, and of course that's talking about Saul's conversion on the road and on all the things that go on there, what comes to your mind as this is the point that I need to drive home to the kids?
The gospel's for all,
okay. What else we got? Come on. Right, yeah, and that's definitely one of his points here that Jeff had made and we talked about.
Jesus can use the most unlikely of characters to fulfill his purpose.
Right, I think that's a good one. That shows that. And in my mind, I was thinking it doesn't matter the depth of sin you're in. If you think about what Saul was doing, he was still Jesus. You know, God was going to use him for a purpose. And nowadays, you have all these people that have that feeling of, "Look what I've done. There's no way I can that God wants me or something like that." You know, but I think that's a good point to drive home, is that it doesn't matter how far you've fallen, that God can always pick you up, you know. And I think that's something that the little ones could understand, you know.
And also it doesn't matter what somebody's done in the world, you know, if that Saul had been in the world.
Exactly, yeah. It doesn't matter what all you've done, what atrocities you've committed maybe, but God can save you, right? So this is the one that was mentioned here about he takes these actions personal. So that shows how much he cares for us and for all of his followers, right? He's gonna look out for us too. So that was one of the things. The other thing was, and this is a big one. I don't know how, depending on your age groups. You know, if you have the real little ones, they're probably not going to understand this. But as they get older, especially in the junior high age group and things like that, when they start hearing of other people around them that are talking about how they've been saved and things like that, this is a good point to emphasize here, is that God has a way to salvation. And Saul, on that road, all these miraculous things happened to him. And if anyone was, the second bullet point, if anyone would have been saved in such a way, miraculously like that, Saul would have been this person. But he still had things he had to do. So I think that's another point to really hammer home, is that we have to follow God's plan to obtain salvation. All right, and then moving on, anything else on that one little section there? Right. Yeah, that's a great point too, because that was as I was rereading over that, you know, you could tell he was really questioning that, and you know, he almost, if you read it in some ways, you think he kind of questioned God a little bit there, but still, when God gave him another little push and says, "No, you go do it," he didn't hesitate at that point. So.
You may want to repeat what his.
Oh yeah, man, that's really going to put me on the spot. Now I got to remember he was. Talking about Ananias and how sometimes we're called to do things that are tough and things like that, that there may be a struggle for us, but we still are able to, we still must go through with those because that's what God wanted us to do. All right, now the next section, I think it was lesson 16, covered chapter 9, 23-43, and that was where, you know, Saul he's been converted now, he's going. Planned to go back, he went to a couple of different places, but ended back up at Jerusalem. Tried to join the brethren there, and they opposed him. So some of the lessons that we talked about there were the pattern for church membership. You know, how Saul had to go, and he took the initiative to try to join himself to that group of Christians there. I don't know with the young ones. That's probably not going to be a great or an easy thing to let them for them to understand at this point. But especially a little bit older, you probably need to start sowing that seed of, hey, this is how things are done. God has a pattern. You can definitely understand that. So, One of the other things was, I think the big things in this section are Barnabas. I think he is a key that all ages can understand, is the character of Barnabas and how he was willing to look beyond some of the things that Saul had done in the past and to give him a chance, you know. And it's like here, don't be gullible. I mean, we can use our human logic and reasoning and kind of see how people are, and we need to be giving people chances, especially if they're showing some changes in their lives. You know, we need to be hoping and praying for that. And I think Barnabas is a great character here that all the age groups can understand and try to imitate. And the last thing that we talked about really in this section as far as applications go was Dorcas and her reputation and, you know, how like the thought question there, how do you want others to mourn your passing? How do you want people to remember you? And I think stressing that to the young ones about you, what you do every day creates your reputation. You know, you have a choice in that. You have to, you know, you're creating your own path there and what other people think of you. And that will stick with you also, whether good or rather bad. And the other thing that we always talk about, the reputation, is it takes a whole lifetime to build it up, for, you know, build up a good reputation, but it only takes one or two things to just totally crush it, right? So, anything?
You know, with maybe some of the older, younger kids, what did Dorcas do to build that reputation? She wasn't preaching. She wasn't, you know, she was teaching privately. She wasn't, you know, that whole idea of what the man's role in the church is,
yeah,
and what the woman's role in the church is.
Yeah, she was in her God-given role and excelling in that and not trying to take on more than what God is wanting that role to be. Yeah, that's a great point. Anything else in that section of?
I think for like younger kids, it'd be a good opportunity to say, you know, Dorcas was not young based on what we've seen. Chances are she was older, but it'd be a good chance for kids to know there's things that at any age you can be doing something. You can be encouragement, you can be active, maybe not like she was talking about, where you're not leading out in front, you know, the services are in, but there's something that everybody can do.
Yeah, there is. That's a good point. There's always something that people can do.
Following up with that, verse 36 would be good to bring out. What was she? She was full of good works and charitable deeds. Well, how old do you have to be to have good works and charitable deeds?
Well, yeah,
old enough to recognize that you can do something for somebody else.
Yes.
That can get pretty young. So that may be a good point.
Yeah, it's something you can do at all ages. What she was doing can be done at any age almost. Yeah. Great points. All right, well, the next section was chapter 10, the first 23 verses of chapter 10. Of course, this is getting into Cornelius and his sending for Peter, and then, of course, Peter's vision. So I think with this section, you know, this first teaching point is a great point for all ages. You know, there are things that God requires of us, and it's more than just being a good person. So, you know, we talked a lot about what Cornelius's reputation was. He was a good person. He was a devout man, one who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people, and he prayed to God always. He was that good person, but he still had to do more. And I think that is something that definitely in this day and age needs to be hammered home with the kids, is that, well, all ages for that matter, but especially with us teaching the kids, because they're going to see everyone around, you know, that everyone around us in the world is saying that's what you have to do. If you're a good person, you're going to be okay. And we just need to hammer that home, that there's more, that God expects more of us and requires more of us to obtain that salvation. Let's see here.
What was said about Cornelius could be said about Dorcas too. They both were generous. You said she was a full of acts charity.
Yes,
so
right.
So in that respect, they're more like the same. It's only she that obeys the
law. Right, that's a good point. Yeah, yeah, you can draw a, you can do a parallel there. That's true. Good point.
It's similar to Saul's conversion when I've heard it said, you know, this is a good example that he, after he was blinded, he went to the city and he was praying and fasting that whole time. And I've heard some people say, you know, you could call that the sinner's prayer on steroids. But that wasn't, he couldn't be saved just by praying.
Right.
He, you know, then Ananias came to him and told him what he would do. And it says about Cornelius, he prayed
always. Yeah.
He was a good man and he prayed to God always.
But right.
Prayer is not what saves us. There's
right.
something more.
Right. And that's a good point. Yeah, you can. There's a couple of parallels. I think I was thinking that when I read over this of Cornelius and Saul and how they had to work through these things, and they did some things that most people around us would say, oh, that's all they had to do, but then God still yet required more of them, specifically being baptized and that. So yeah, those are great points to, and just the more ways I think that we can hammer that home to the young people and get that kind of, you know, instilled in their minds to look for these things that God tells us to do and requires of us. So I think that's great. The other thing that we talked about in this section was the law of Moses is no longer in force. This is going back to Peter's vision and the doing away with the unclean and everything's going to be accepted now. Don't call what I've created common or unclean. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. So, you know, I think, you know, that was one point there that we're transitioning. We've transitioned from this old law, the way God was doing things, and now we're transitioning to this new covenant where everyone is accepted. So this is another good illustration to show. There's other places that we have, you know, he has listed here in the second bullet where that is discussed. But here's another place to where we can emphasize that to the kids. And but I think this is a big one here too. In this section is for the young people, especially is his attitude, the way that Cornelius was seeking God. He was praying, but he. And when somebody is wanting to obey God and wanting to have that relationship with God, that God will provide the way. You know, there's so many times questions come up about, well, what about this person over in Africa somewhere who's never had the opportunity? But I think you can look at things like this and see that when people have that understanding and they have that desire for God, and they can look at his creation and see that there is a creator and understand that there's something that we need to have, there's someone that we need to have a relationship with, that God will provide a way. And I think that's where we just have to have the faith and trust and not get lost in the weeds of all those what-if questions, you know. So I think this is, but his attitude in all this is just a great lesson for us all. And I think this same point is brought out a little bit later, also another application in the way that he brings his family in, because he's so excited about hearing what he must do to be saved and what that he brings everyone else. He's wanting to share it with everyone. So did anybody, thinking over that story, is there any other points that anybody has about the kind of the first part of the Peter's vision and Cornelius sending for Peter? The next part is we're actually, you know, Peter shows up and we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit there. That's kind of a unique thing because it happened the same way it happened to the apostles. Peter brings that out later. Number two there, that just like everyone else, Cornelius had to obey. We've kind of talked about that already. You have the whole list here of the things that he did. He went through the steps that we commonly referred to as the steps of salvation. He kind of went through all of those. So that's another great point to bring out with the young people. We have these things that God requires of us. And then again, his attitude towards seeking God. His will should be our attitude. The way he was truly seeking for God is the way that we should be seeking God. We should have that fervent desire. We should be trying to bring anyone else that we can in to hear that when we have the opportunity. And that's something that even the little kids can understand there about, look how excited Cornelius was about this, you know. You know, we should have that same excitement. We should have that same desire. Anything else on that?
I think it's really nice on the end of that too, where you think, we think that people want to talk like baptism is a work that we have to do, and they word it as if it's a privilege, you know, we're going to allow them to do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that puts a different perspective, because that's how the apostles saw it.
Right, that's good. It goes back to an attitude toward things that God is requiring of us, right? We say that, and I've said that a lot today. God is requiring this of us, but I mean, if our attitude should be we're getting to do these things for God. You know, God wants us to do these things, and we should want to do them also. So, it's a good point. The last section that we kind of covered here was Acts 11, 1 through 30. And this is Peter going back and telling people about what happened. You know, he's going back in chapter 11. He's back in Jerusalem. And, you know, they're starting to say, hey, we've heard some things about what was going on here that you were eating with these uncircumcised people. And he recounts the episode that happened with Cornelius and how God had opened salvation up to the Gentiles. In summary, I guess. One of the lessons that we brought out in this section was, you know, some of the way the local church, some of the way it's organized a little bit, some of the activities it can do, has the authority to do. One of them is benevolence. Scriptural for one church to send benevolent help to another local church. Once it's there, the elders or the leadership at that local congregation is in charge of how the funds are dispersed. So we have authority for that. That's always that's probably not something you're going to talk about with the little kids or anything like that. But as they get older, you know, junior high and things like that, you can definitely start showing a pattern of God authorizes certain things for the churches to do, right? So you can kind of start planting that seed. And as they get older, you can get into some of these details like the sponsoring church and how other organizations have different beliefs and do things differently and why they're wrong. Also, the organization. God desires each local church to be scripturally organized, not to be wanting or lacking. You got qualifications for elders. There is a standard that he expects for local congregations to adhere by, and those can be found in the scriptures.
Justin, that's kind of a good opportunity. Going back to Cornelius was a good man. He was a good man, but that's not enough. And some of these other churches that are following patterns that they don't have scriptural authority for, some of the things they do may be good.
Right. Yeah, that's
but that's not enough.
Yeah, that's a great point.
If they want to do it, they can do it privately, but not through the church.
Yeah, because that's always the argument, right? You're telling me I can't do these good things. No, we're telling you this body of people collectively doesn't have the authority to do that, but there are ways individually you can do those things, but even if it's good in our minds, doesn't mean it's good in God's
eyes. And that's something for kids, especially not maybe the youngest ones, but the ones maybe middle school and older can get as they see and hear what good things and missionary trips and stuff.
Yes.
Friends are going on, they need to know why we do it differently.
Right, that's a good point. Yep. I think the last thing that we had in all of this is Barnabas again, and how he, as Jeff put it in his bullet here, he left his comfortable position in Jerusalem where probably things were a lot easier, and he goes to preach in Antioch, and you know, just his willingness to do things, willingness to go get Saul, who may still not have had the greatest of reputations, I don't know at this point, but he's willing to take the risk and go get him to help encourage him, and look what happens from all this. You know, we're about to jump into a couple chapters into the journeys here, right? And all the way the gospel was spread partly because of Barnabas and his willingness to bring Saul in? What if he had never brought Saul in here? You know, he may have never taken those journeys or something. So Barnabas played a key role. So what can we do, you know, as individuals to encourage others to help people go be the best person they can be in a lot of ways, best Christian they can be? We should always be looking for opportunities to uplift and edify each other. And I think the kids can easily see that, you know, be a person that encourages people to try to get them to do what's right and what's best always. Anything else on that section or any of them at this point? I think that's our last. I can see you changing the label a little bit, so you're not.
They're not excluding others anymore.
It's right.
Like, okay, we don't want to be known as Jews anymore. We follow Christ and we're Christians.
Yeah, I think that's makes sense.
So, for the older kids, it might be an opportunity to bring up the topic of inference, going back to Peter's vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, I mean, what was he shown? He was shown a bunch of animals. Well, what conclusion did he come to? Because of other things that happened, right? That God doesn't show partiality,
right.
And the gospel is for all.
Yes.
And so,
yeah, I think that's
a lot of times we just read that, and you know, we have a story, we heard it all along. But how did he come to that conclusion?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right. And so it's an opportunity to just, you know, to bring it to their mind, not to spend the whole class on it, mm-hmm. but this idea of, you know, we have to use the information that we're given to come to a conclusion based on the information that we're given.
Right. Yeah, and you know, that's probably one of the, I guess, the biggest areas where people struggle with authority.
We wouldn't do that in an 18-month-old.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, I think as early as you can to start letting them see how they had to make certain inferences or judgments based upon the facts that they, you know, the knowledge that they had, and that was authority. That's how God authorizes things. That's how we can do the same thing by looking at the scriptures and seeing, well, God says this, but to get there you necessarily have to infer that this happened first. So yeah, great point.
Also, Cornelius wasn't a Christian until he did follow those things. Because in our world today, people use the word Christian
very loosely.
And you know, we need to kind of establish what truly is a Christian.
Right. Good point.
For kids.
And I agree, and I was going to make that comment happen. But I really think it would be a good opportunity when you get to that verse. What does it mean to be a Christian?
Yeah, it's spend time on that, yeah.
We are followers of Christ. And that, if we are followers of Christ, we're Christians. Now it gets into, there's a lot of people out there that call themselves Christians. And that's another study in of itself. But especially with the young ones, I think that would be a great opportunity just to spend a few moments. When we say, when a person says they are a Christian, what does that mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. All right, well, the next couple minutes we have here, what time is it? 10 o'clock. I was going to talk about our website some. So, I don't know, there's some, I mean, I know you guys are new. I don't know, there's some people, I guess we probably don't do a great job of advertising what's out there. So I figured the Foundations class is a good class to do that. So I'm going to try to actually go to it. Should have made sure I was connected to the Wi-Fi before, didn't I?
Justin, can I tell you something? Huh? So, I really don't know how this came about, but Crystal Sexton texted me the other day. You already know about this.
I got it in here.
It will go well with the pictures and cards that Katie...
Are you talking about the Axe Facts?
The song?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I did mean to bring that up earlier. I actually have it on here. I was going to show, but... For learning the Axe Facts, Crystal Sexton has a video out on YouTube where she's just put it to music. And I've got a link in here. It's not the easiest thing to get to. I couldn't find a good way to put links on here, but it should be to where everyone can get to it. Let's see. Everybody is showing it. Okay.
There's not a way to get
it. No, it's not. We'll have to... So our website, when you log in, everybody should have a way to log in, right? You guys have been given ways to log in. So when you get in here, on the left side down here for teachers, search Eastside's classes and sermons. That's there, I think, are at least two, I'm pretty sure there's two quarters or two cycles worth of foundation classes out there. So we've recorded this for... Wow, it's probably been 10 years. You probably have at least audio of foundations, maybe even longer than that. So you can probably go back and find maybe even three cycles of foundations. So if you go to the Acts section, you can go, or whatever section you want to, and hear past lessons on that. Probably most of them have the PowerPoint slides with it also. Same thing there. That's probably the same link, the same sermons and things up there. Some of these links here are old. This Bible class schedule, we need to update that. That's still our old three-cycle schedule, so we need to update that since we're going to four cycles now, or four-year cycle. Memory work, I was looking at this, and we don't have memory work necessarily for Acts yet, so that's something that all of you, as you get with your partner and everything like that, in a lot of ways, it's probably good to have some commonality there. I know the younger ones... probably, they're not going to have as much as the older ones, but probably good to learn the same verses, especially for the families that have kids in different age groups. At least they're working on the same type of verses. So as you come up with that, please share with the other teachers, and when we do that, we can get it updated here on the website. We have a lot of maps, so if you ever need maps for your PowerPoint slides or anything, we have... I think these are, I can't remember if these are from the Waldron books. These are all, you have blank maps and you have some that are,
some colored,
some black and white. Yeah. Here's the one I really wanted to, well, down here, the teacher shared material is where I was talking about. It's just a Google Drive that everyone should have access to. Once you click on that link, you should be... I know you can look at everything. If you can't add something, let me know, and we'll try to get you access to that. The idea here was we would have every quarter broken down into different age groups. Like right here is something I guess Tiffany Burns put out there a while back. That's where she went through, and she had PowerPoints for her age group. I think it was fourth and fifth graders, so... it's out there. Just a repository of past stuff that people can pull from. The idea is not for you to go and just grab this person's stuff and just use it without putting any thought into it. It's to, hey, here's some good ideas and share a way to share ideas. So, but in this, I had this other document here where I've just added links, or different people have added links over time. And that's where I put the Axe Facts song today. So you can click on that link and it'll carry you to the YouTube page where anytime you come up with other songs, anything like that, feel free to add them here. Or if you actually have a recording of it, you can just drop them out here, like a couple of the, there's an MP3 there of Suzanne singing some of the songs. Basically just a way to, especially as we get younger people teaching or new people teaching that may not know these songs and know all you know, the different things, the hand motions on some of them where they had the recording for the 17 Bible period hand motions. It's the way to get them, they can practice them before going in the classroom, okay? So feel free to put your stuff out here, share with others. And here is the creation to revelation. I'm sure most of you have seen that. It's a couple down in Florida kind of started doing the, I guess, mainly artwork and things like that. So the login should be there. Teacher and password is Acts 2:38. So when you log in here. It's a little bit slow sometimes, but you see that also the maps and different pictures are loaded in this also. So if you click on that, it's just the same. I think it's the same. No, I think there actually could be some more maps here for different New Testament cities and different periods. But under the creation to revelation, there are, if you go under the 17 Bible periods, you can click on the four up. That just means there's four to a page, and there's different ways to show them if they would ever come up. Like I say, it's slow. Promises there. They're black and white and color. I think there's options for both, which is another thing I was going to say. We have no way to print color here. This is for everyone here's use. You can print them from home, no problem. We bought the license for as a congregation to use this, so you can use them any way you want to there. I will say if you go to, because I did this, if you print out some of them at home and you want to go get copies at Staples, they will, they told me, hey, it's got a copyright here and we're really not supposed to do this, so, but they did it anyway. But, but you know, I guess legally we can do it, but you may run into that. But if you need something like that done, if you're wanting to print out a bunch of these, and you know, feel free to talk to me, or Craig Calvert is the one who handles supplies for the resource rooms back here. If you need to buy something at Staples, I think he handles that quite a bit. He can, I think he's got a card. Greg may have a card too, a Staples card. So if you need stuff like that, you know, we're not expecting you to, you know, pay for it out of your own pocket. If you don't, you know, if you need something, just let us know and we'll help you get that, okay?
I mean, you can, and then just bring the receipt.
Yeah, that'll work too.
Or there are a couple of deacons that have the Staples card and they'll give it to you if you need to buy stuff.
Yeah, so there's all the artwork there and things like, you know, you've probably seen them. If you want to, there's a laminator in the back copy room. There's two copiers back there. What else am I missing? Anything else you can think of?
The workroom here's got all the Abeka pictures in it. Yep. It's got a bunch of the maps in there, the one on your bulletin board. It's yep. Got divided in bins. They're not all sorted more recently, but divided in bins. It's got for the different periods of Bible history where there may be other material people have made and put in there.
Yeah.
Like touch and feel it.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. And I think there's TVs in most classrooms. If you don't have one and you want one, let us know. We'll try to get that. There's usually a computer stick, small computer in each classroom. If you don't have one, let us know. We'll try to get you something. Yeah, I've got that. So yeah, just talk to me, or I'll get that sent out in an email at some point too. So well, I appreciate it. Jeff will be back Wednesday, hopefully. Y'all can actually learn something again. Thank you.
That whole video camera has a different camera.